So I'm going to repeat some stuff from last week.
Oh.
Roger, you've been with me long enough to know I repeat stuff all the time. I'm always asking Marty, did I tell the story about such and such? Yeah, but it's a good one. Tell it again. Marty was doing some studying on the yamas, the five yamas of Hindu, or the ten yamas, actually, of Hinduism. And Hinduism, to even refer to Hinduism as a religion is a misnomer, because there's no such thing as a Hindu prior to the early 1800s. If you'd have gone to people in southern India, they would have told you what their spiritual practices were. They would have told you who their deities were, and they have thousands of deities. But they would have never referred to themselves as Hindus. When the British colonized India, they tried to figure out what is all this diverse paganism, basically, and they said they're Hindus. And so that was the descriptor that came to be used for Hinduism. And we symbolize Hinduism with the Om. Now, the interesting thing about Hinduism is that Hinduism has an open canon. Now, if gun collectors, Mitch, this isn't what you're thinking. An open canon means that their spiritual scripture is never closed. They're always adding to it. Whereas in 325 CE, Christianity said there are no more fully sacred documents once the New Testament had come together. This is all open. So in the third century, a man named Patanjali, who was a yogi, he was very much into yoga, and he began to teach yoga to the Brahmins, which is the priestly class caste. Remember that the Hindus, the Indians, again, no such thing as a Hindu, the Indians believe in a caste system. And so he taught them to the Brahmins, which is the spiritual teachers, the highest class. Isn't it great if you get to decide what the caste system is? Don't you think you're going to put yourself where? Big surprise. Anybody want to figure that one out? So the priests are at the top. And so he taught them to them. And then all of a sudden, yoga became very popular. But Patanjali sat down and looked at the 10 yamas of Hinduism, which is like the 10 commandments. And by that, these are common spiritual practices or beliefs all over southern India. And he looked at him and he said, you know what? We don't need 10. 5 will do. There's really 5. If you look at 10, there's some redundancies. So I started looking at this and I realized that Patanjali's 5 spiritual truths, the 5 things that he thinks are most important for a good life, are also found in the 10 commandments. I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. And so then I started doing some research into Buddhism, and I realized that all 5 appear in the 5 precepts of Buddhism. Taking it a step further, almost all 5 Jesus speaks about in the Sermon of the Mount. So here you have got Buddhism, which came out of Hinduism, by the way. Siddhartha was a Hindu, and he started Buddhism, or Buddhism started because of him. Then you've got Christianity, which came out of Judaism, and it started because of Jesus Christ. And right now, more than 51% of the people in our world identify with one of these 4 symbols. Breathe a second. Think about that. Over half the people in the world are influenced by this, and the 5 writings, which were done independent of one another and were done in different parts of the world, all say the same thing. So what did I talk about last week? Anybody remember? Thou shalt not, basically?
Kill.
Okay. Here is another one that is common to all 5. Not lying. Not lying. Everybody lies. In little ways, big ways, sometimes in big ways. Have you ever lied to somebody telling them you've done something when in reality what you mean is, I'll do it as soon as I get off the phone? We all do it. You're lying. We all do it. Everybody does it. And yet what has been discovered is that, remember, these You've got religion and then you've got spirituality. Religion usually comes out of spirituality. Rarely does spirituality come out of religion, okay? So you started with spirituality, which was, how can you live your life better? The Buddha was a human being. He was not a god. He never claimed to be a god. He was a person who tried to live his life the best possible way, vibrate in the energy of God. Jesus Christ was the same way. And so they're saying, if you want to vibrate in the energy of God, that means expand your spiritual awareness, don't lie. In the Old Testament, in the Torah, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Which, as we talked about last week, we presume to mean, don't lie. Didn't mean that at all. Back when this was written, the Torah was written 5,000 years ago. Back then, whenever you brought a complaint to a judge, and there were judges, look at the book of Judges in the Old Testament. You bring a problem to a judge against someone else, you had to bring at least two witnesses. Even if it was just one person and the other person was very compelling, the judge would throw it out unless you had two. So if you had an issue and it was just you and the other person, you had to then go and get two other people, and people were witnesses for hire. It's a very different culture. If you study back then, there were professional mourners. Because it was considered a mark of great pride to have lots of people crying and screaming at your funeral, so upset you were dead, that the families, think about it, they paid people to do this. And they also paid people to lie, even though it was considered a capital offense. You could have been stoned to death for doing it. Isn't it crazy how we have these dichotomous feelings about lying? So when you look at it from the Jewish standpoint, from the Judaistic standpoint, what they're saying is don't bear false witness against your neighbor. And in this case, they mean for payment. So I ask myself, and I want you to ask yourself, how in some ways are you shading or withholding the truth because you're receiving some form of payment? It could be that you're literally working for somebody and they come to you and say, hey, this is a great idea, don't you think? And you go, oh, yeah. Everybody stop looking at my assistant. The reason I love Jeannie is she looks at me and goes, oh, no, you don't want to do that. But we do that. We accept payment for shading the truth. We accept payment in the form of intimacy. We accept payment in the form of human connection. We accept payment in the form of favors from other people. Other people do things to us. And so when they ask us, we just don't tell the truth. So I ask you just to consider, is there maybe a way or a possibility that you're receiving something and so you're not telling the truth? And by the way, this is not about brutal honesty, okay? There's no such thing as brutal honesty. There's brutality, and there's honesty. Honesty is always spoken with neutral words. That's how to know if you're being honest. You're being honest, you're speaking with neutral words. I'm not judging you, and I'm not trying to inflate me. I'm being neutral. Again, I love Buddhism. And understand, Buddhism never was intended to be a religion, even though it's the second largest one in the world, third largest in the world. The way they say it is, I undertake the training rule to abstain from false speech. That's fun. Let's say that together. I'll say it again. I undertake the training rule to abstain from false speech. One more time. I undertake the training rule to abstain from false speech. I got to tell you, if I'm shopping churches back 5,000 years ago and could be on different continents at the same time, I'm going to go with the one who has a training rule as opposed to thou shalt not. Doesn't it feel good? So I started doing some research into what Buddhists mean by false speech. And this is what Buddhists mean by false speech. The Buddha said, in a controversy, the instant we feel anger, we have already ceased striving for the truth and have begun striving for ourselves. 50, 60 more times, you want me to read that? All right, let's try with one. In a controversy, the instant we feel anger, we have already ceased striving for the truth. We're striving for ourselves. It's that the truth is neutral thing again. The truth is neutral. When we start getting upset or angry, then all of a sudden we're in our egos. We're trying to make our point. And the reason we get angry is that we're afraid. Anger is always caused by fear. In the five yamas of Patanjali, it's called satya. This is a Sanskrit word. Not lying, telling the truth is called satya. It means truthfulness, avoidance of falsehoods and fabrications. Let me say that again. Falsehoods and fabrications. Okay? You know a falsehood. Okay? When somebody lies to you, they're telling you a falsehood. Okay? A fabrication we call BS. And you've heard BS before. Somebody comes up to you and they start BS. You know what BS stands for, don't you? Brilliant speculations. That's all it is. Somebody is giving you a brilliant speculation as to how it's supposed to go or how it was or something like that. And that's really all it is a speculation. Avoid those things. You know why? Every lie we ever tell is preceded by fear. Fear that we're not good enough. Fear that we're going to get in trouble. Some sort of fear. Every lie we ever tell is told out of fear. And when we do brilliant speculations, we're afraid we're not good enough, or our situation isn't good enough, or some situation isn't good enough, so we BS. We fabricate, and we diminish ourselves. Because the moment we try to inflate ourselves, we look at ourselves as deflated. Do you get that? You wouldn't need to try and inflate yourself if you didn't feel deflated. I have to lie to you. Ever used or heard somebody say that? I have to lie to you. I had to lie to you. I had to lie to you. That's a lie. When somebody says, I had to lie to you, that's a lie. The truth is, I lied to you because I didn't want to endure how you would respond to the truth. That's the real truth. I never had to lie to you. I diminished myself, or I'm staying in a situation or a relationship that is not ideal, and I've told you something that is not the truth. Because I didn't want to deal with your reaction, which means I'm out of alignment somewhere in my life. If I'm having to lie or fabricate, I'm out of my life. How can you be out of alignment in your life and be in alignment with God and feel spiritual? I don't think you can. Have you noticed that one lie creates another lie? Yes? I'll take it one step further. One lie precedes another lie. Lies beget lies. You know why? Because before you can tell a lie, you have to lie to yourself that the person you're about to lie to is worthy of a lie. You have to step out of your own truth completely, that that person is an expression of God, just like I am an expression of God, and say they are not worthy of hearing the truth. So we lie to ourselves first. That's why it's called rationalizing. I mean, the explanation is in there. Give ourselves rational lies as to why we do that. I think that's why Shakespeare has Polonius tell Laertes in Hamlet, this above all else to thine own self be true. And it must then follow as the night, the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. You have to step out of your own light to cast a shadow on somebody else. You have to step out of your connection with God to lie to somebody else. And as always, in my opinion, Jesus Christ had the coolest thing to say about it all. Matthew 5, 33 through 37, the Sermon on the Mount. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all. Either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Or come back, I added that. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one, which many have called Satan. I believe is our ego. It's the dark side. It's the shadow side of us. I've noticed an interesting phenomenon speaking in churches now for over 20 years. I will run into somebody I haven't seen in a very long time at the grocery store. I haven't seen him in church. Oh my God, Will, it's so great to see you. Well, I've been so busy, but I'm going to be there this weekend. I swear to God, I'm going to be there this weekend. And you know what? I'll see you this weekend. As they're walking away, I'm going, you're not coming to church, dude. Stop lying to me. We feel sometimes like the lie is as good as the action. Think about that. We do sometimes. There's an old Arabic saying, he who repeatedly promises you intends to fail you. We think for some reason, and I've noticed it now with Marty. Marty and I will be at the movie theater. Somebody will come up, oh my gosh, I miss yoga, I haven't been in so long, da 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 da. And Marty will look, do they think we're losing sleep over this? Don't swear an oath. I swear on my children. I swear on my mother. I tell you what, I'd swear on Frida's cookies. Those things were good. There's an old saying, superlatives are diminutives. The more I tell you I'm going to do something, the more I'm excusing myself from doing it. All I need to say to you is yes. All I need to say to you is yes. That's it. Yes, I will do this. And if your word isn't good enough to not need a kickstand, like I promise, work on your word. Anybody up for a fun little experiment? Don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to tell you what it is, but I think I've really hit on something amazing. I know it's true for myself. Get a calendar, and over the next 100 days, I want you to just make a little note on the calendar. You're never going to show this to anybody else. If you lie on that day, you can lie 300 times in one day, okay? Or you can just lie once, but that's a lie that day. And do it every day for the next 100 days, and here's what I want to share with you. If you lie about 10 times out of the next 100 days, you're about 10% out of alignment in the life that you should be living. You're in the wrong relationships, you're in the wrong job, you're engaging in the wrong activities, you're hanging out with the wrong people, you're accepting the wrong recompense. Something is out of alignment. If you lie 40, 50 times, that's your percentage, 40 to 50 times. There are people, friends, who walk through their days lying all the time, and the first person they have to lie to before they can lie to everybody else is? That's the 11th commandment, thou shalt not lie to thyself. To thine own self be true. Try this, just to see it. Notice when you lie, don't judge it. Don't judge it. Don't get upset with yourself. Just simply go, wow. Wow. Okay. What is it I need to look at? That, I think, is what the great spiritual masters of all five truths, four religions are trying to teach us. Take somebody's hand. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for the great spiritual masters who through their example taught us the way to live the highest and the happiest lives we can live. Thank you, God, that their teachings have endured these thousands of years and have reached us today. We open our hearts to them and we undertake the training ritual to abstain from false speech. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope you find this to be a blessing in your life. If you do, be sure and podcast these broadcasts. That is, set your device, your phone, your iPad, your computer to automatically receive these. You can do it through iTunes or you can do it through podbean.com. Go to willbowen.podbean.com and subscribe. Have a great week. I look forward to talking to you real soon. You can connect with me at will@willbowen.com. Have a great day. Bye-bye.